President ponders a ban.
People are dying with vaping.
Supreme Court order on asylum.
Another legal win for the president.
Biden and Warren highlight Democratic debate.
Finally, the top two are on a stage together.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kaifin. President Trump is making a move to ban flavored e-cigarettes as teen vaping is on the rise and six people have died from lung damage linked to e-cigarette use. Our team coverage begins with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
As he sat alongside the First Lady in the Oval Office, President Trump said more Americans need to know how dangerous vaping can be.
People think it's an easy solution to cigarettes, but it's turned out that it has its own difficulties.
Now his administration will move to ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes, often preferred by teens. Health Secretary Alex Azar says within months.
All flavors other than tobacco flavor would be removed from the market.
CBS's Janet Shamlian has reaction from a vaping store near Houston.
It's a cornucopia of nicotine flavors at the Vapor Trend Shop. At least 150 line the store shelves.
What percentage of your business is flavored e-cigarettes?
I'd say at least about 60 or 70%.
But if sales of most flavored e-cigarettes are banned, manager Ty Marceau says it could kill business.
They've been used to the variety for so long that it would definitely affect a lot of people.
I don't want to smoke the flavorless stuff, so I don't think that they should get rid of it just because they think it's for kids.
Mike Stefani says he started vaping because he wanted to quit smoking.
I would rather do this than go back to smoking cigarettes and, you know, die of emphysema.
This one's going to have your standard-like features, too.
The store says it carries products only from established manufacturers and believes the recent spike in serious lung illnesses may involve people consuming black market products.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has given the Trump administration the green light to enforce a new rule that prevents most Central Americans from seeking asylum in this country.
The order by the justices temporarily reverses a lower court ruling that had blocked the new asylum policy in some states along the southern border. That policy is meant to deny asylum to anyone who passes through another country on the way to the U.S. without seeking protection there. Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented from the high court's order. Sotomayor says the rule upends longstanding practices regarding refugees who seek shelter from persecution. Bill Rakoff, CBS News, Washington.
Well, the top 10 Democrats in the presidential race square off in a debate tonight. Political correspondent Ed O'Keefe joins us now from Houston. Ed, for the first time, the top two Democrats in the polls, Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, are on the same debate stage. What are we likely to see?
We are likely to see a big focus on those two, probably early on and maybe throughout the evening. In the first two rounds of debates, Biden and Warren were on competing nights, and a lot of Democrats who've been closely watching this race are saying, finally, the top two are on a stage together. We'll be able to see some real contrast between the two of them. But there's another person who's on stage with Elizabeth Warren for the first time, and that's the California Senator Kamala Harris. 29% of people who'd been supporting Kamala Harris over the summer have now switched their support to Elizabeth Warren. So keep an eye tonight on whether the two of them, perhaps, have some fiery exchanges.
So for Harris and the seven others we haven't talked about, it's time for them to sort of make a move and do something to get back in the conversation.
Absolutely. If Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren are really the only three contenders sitting in double digits, everybody else has got to try to make their mark. But they do so at their own peril. Remember, Joe Biden has been singled out by other lesser-known contenders in the first two debates, and those contenders are no longer in the race. Another two people to keep an eye on tonight are the Texans in this race. Beto O'Rourke, who really has recalibrated his campaign since the shootings in El Paso, and Julian Castro, the former housing secretary and mayor of San Antonio. Neither wants to see the other one in the race and wants to be the only Texan left on Super Tuesday. I suspect there could be some fireworks between them tonight.
Ed O'Keefe in Houston, thanks. China says importers are asking about prices for American soybeans and pork in what may be a possible goodwill gesture ahead of trade talks next month. It comes after President Trump said yesterday he'd postpone a planned tariff hike on some Chinese goods set to take hold next month. OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma has reached a settlement with more than 20 states and thousands of local governments that could be worth more than $12 billion when it's all said and done. The Sackler family would relinquish company control and pay billions on its own. Pennsylvania announced a suit against the family this morning. Tom Heidick lives in an Ohio community that's been hard hit by opioid addiction.
I hope that money is used for treatment. there's a whole generation anymore of people that are addicted to this. They can't kick it by themselves.
And Purdue Pharma could face challenges in bankruptcy court, too. What a moment last year when Justify won horse racing's Triple Crown.
Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner!
Well, now the New York Times reports Justify failed a drug test at a California track that could have kept the horse out of the Kentucky Derby. But the paper says racing officials took more than a month to confirm the results. A New Jersey lawsuit demands a fertility clinic turn over a list of sperm donors after the woman and a white couple gave birth to an Asian baby. Here's CBS's Peter King.
Christina Ketterich says it took time for her and her then-husband to figure out something wasn't quite right.
When she was two and a half, she doesn't look like Drew.
The couple says a DNA test revealed their daughter was only related to Christina. David Mazey is their attorney.
What happened to the sperm was supposed to be inseminated that day.
The fertility clinic says it's, quote, taking this matter very seriously. The couple is now divorced. The girl is 6 years old. And while Drew Wasluski is trying to figure out how he'll explain this all to her,
hopefully, you know, it all turns out okay.
He's also wondering if someone else has given birth to his child.
Recalled California Judge Aaron Persky has lost another job. He's been fired as JV tennis coach at a high school in San Jose after parents complained about his hiring. Persky was the judge who sentenced a Stanford University swimmer to 6 months in jail for a sexual assault, widely criticized as too light. It's game over for some workers at a retailer that needs a reboot.
A month after laying off hundreds of employees, GameStop now says it's closing as many as 200 stores worldwide by the end of the year. The chain has more than 5,700 locations around the world. And that's not all. The company is expecting to close a much larger group of stores in the next 1 to 2 years. GameStop says it's doing a reboot and will work on being a social and cultural hub for gaming. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Well, to mark 9/11 yesterday, New York Mets star rookie Pete Alonso bought custom cleats for everyone on the team to wear in last night's game. Red, white, and blue with "We Will Never Forget" lettering. His idea for special hats was rejected by Major League Baseball. The Mets responded by scoring 9 runs on 11 hits in a shutout win over Arizona. And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.